News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
And they are the opinions of me and no one else, because no one else would say the crazy things I do. Michelle Hauser's my guest. You're looking at her on YouTube Live right now. Michelle, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ed. How are you?
Thanks for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome.
On a cold night outside.
Yes, I've got my big sweatshirt on tonight.
I'm telling you, I thought some of this was over, but I guess I'd be here soon enough.
You've got the five winters in the South.
You were talking about that. The black bear winter.
There's like the locust winter. There's the redbud winter, dogwood winter, and then blackberry winter, and then britches winter.
Britches?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? You just made that up.
No, I read about this, that it's usually the very last winter, and it's just where you can't put your britches up just yet because it's still a little cold outside.
Don't bring out the shorts. Okay, I get it. You made that up. Okay, yeah. If you'll notice on your screens, if you're watching, and those of you that I've written to, thank you. It's going to be an interesting little thing we're going to do here tonight. You see the orange here, and I have orange on my headphones. That is in tribute to the slaying you all took yesterday up at Knoxville. And then we almost got beat.
Yes.
I'm telling you, another minute and y'all would have won that game.
Yeah. It's sad.
It's sad. Mm. Oh, you're not. Yeah, it's sad, all right.
It's sad.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, number 14 in the nation is not bad.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not, but, you know.
You think they'll draw a top seed?
I think so.
I hope so.
I think so in the end.
The kids have worked hard. They deserve it.
Yep.
They've got a good team up there. Rick Barnes, he's done a great job.
Yes, I think he has.
He built it from the ground up, you know.
Yes.
This one and done. I don't know. Okay? Listen, I'll tell you what. Thank you for doing this,
Michelle.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you very much. And Jackson's on the board, and I'll tell you what. Let's kick this thing off, if we could. For right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymond. Yes, I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
Yeah, we're kicking off with a little rock and roll for you. This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. Show is produced at Studios WGNS, AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight with your questions, comments, and thoughts at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can also send a text to that same number, and our producer will be glad to read it over there. For those of you who do not wish to be heard live on there, we certainly understand that. You can listen to us. I had folks who are listening tonight, and they asked how they could listen. My wife listens on Alexa. You can find us a number of different ways. We're on right now YouTube Live. Type in Edwin Lee Raymer. That's all you got to type in on YouTube. We're on Facebook Live, okay? News Radio WGNS. There's a number of ways. Just Google it. It'll get you to it. And then, of course, there's the old-fashioned radio, which is what I came up here for to start with anyway, more than a decade ago. Just you can go out in your car and listen. I don't know if anybody keeps a radio in their house anymore. I don't know. Everybody listens on their phone, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I listen to the radio in a car, and that's about it. But
yeah, me too.
I've got three or four stations to listen to. And you can download the WGNS app. Take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. Angela Bingham was just in here. She's a fine lady. Sings with her sisters, the Bingham sisters. And she has done, at 6 p.m., Simplicity. And it's just a fine broadcast she does with a lot of the folks that are here in the area on you know, special needs, feeding people and working with people. And she's just a fine person. And I urge you to listen into that if you can. And she's on, I think, podcast, or you'll find her in Simplicity Network on YouTube as well. And all the other shows that are done here, mostly, of course, we have our prep sports and all that. And don't ask me, folks. I don't know who's in the state tournament. I thought Laverne was, but I don't. Do you know, Michelle?
I have no idea.
We've got so many teams here now. And I should know because I'm here affiliated with the station, but I'm sorry I don't. Those of you that are listening tonight, you know why you're listening. Others that don't, we're going to explain it to you. A few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and I told Michelle this, all of a sudden my phone started ringing. This one here, and it was all about one of my children has been put in a foster situation. Department of Children's Services has done this, blah, 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 blah. Foster parents, foster parents. Okay. Michelle specializes in family law. She's been here a number of times before. Many of you know her probably, or you've heard of her or know of her. You're located out in the Fountains.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, tell people how they can get a hold of you. Okay, let's do that.
Well, you can reach us on our website, which is www.borofamilylegal.com. That's borofamilylegal.com, or you can contact our office at 615-801-8602.
Okay. Now, and I said, so I called her, and of course, I already had gas plans, so it wasn't an emergency deal, nothing like that. But I said, you know, first of all, you're calling a private investigator. In some cases, I understand. In some cases, I can be useful to you. But most of the time, you're going to have to talk to one of these folks that go before the judge and they're licensed to do so by the state of Tennessee. And Michelle practices family law. Michelle, we've got our problems with the Department of Children's Services. You and I have known this for a while. I've served a bunch of papers for them in the past. I told you over the phone, I had one lady down in Nashville. She was a fine lady. She worked at the Department of Children's Services. I served her on one case 5 times because it kept getting delayed and all that. I don't mind doing the service. I make money to do it, but there's an expense there, you know.
Yes.
What happens when a child goes into foster care? How does this work, and how does the judge play into this?
Well, a child can go into foster care two different ways. There's two different trajectories that a child can go into foster care. The first one is through what they call a delinquency act. If you have a child who is habitually delinquent, in other words, doing different criminal acts that consistently get themselves in trouble, then the state can ultimately say, we're going to place this child in foster care.
Now, this is if the child's even with their parents.
Yes. Because sometimes the parents don't necessarily want them anymore. I hate to say that because they've become so problematic.
Unfortunately, you're correct. I know.
Because they've become so problematic. So they can either put them into a home that is specifically designed for delinquent children, or they can put them into the foster care system. The most popular way that children get into the foster care system is through what they call a dependency and neglect.
Right.
Dependency neglect action is where we basically have children whose parents are unable to care for them. The children are dependent, and because of whatever's going on in that parent's life, they are not able to care for those children. And so they can come into through the Department of Children's Services that way. And if the Department of Children's Services decides to remove those children, then they are put into the foster care system.
Okay. Now, I had one case, and we can't talk about specifically cases.
Right.
Can a parent of children, let's say they're not even married, can this parent, one parent, put a child into a foster system alone if the other wishes not to do that?
That's pretty hard. This is one of the things that I think a lot of people don't understand about the system.
Okay.
Just if you are an unmarried couple who have a child,
okay,
just because you signed the birth certificate does not make you a legal parent in the eyes of the state of Tennessee. You have to go to court and assert your parentage rights in order for the court to determine that you are the legal parent of that child.
Because you're not married.
Because you're not married.
Oh.
And if you sign the birth certificate and the voluntary acknowledgement of paternity, that in and of itself does not make you a legal parent.
I did not know that.
Most people do not.
Yeah.
And they go down there, and everybody's all excited about the moment and having this baby, and we're just going to sign off on the birth certificate. And then you find out 6 months later the child's not yours, or you signed off on this birth certificate, and the state of Tennessee is coming after you for child support, even though you've found out that this child is not yours. I really wish the state of Tennessee would make better efforts to start requiring DNA assessments at the time that that child is born for unmarried parents, so that that individual could have the assurance of when they're signing off on that bottom line, they know that they're going to be a parent.
Is this done in other states that you know of? Do you, I mean, I know it's hard enough to keep up with what's going on here in Tennessee.
I have no idea what the other states do. I mean, once upon a time, we didn't do DNA testing because it was so cost prohibitive.
Sure, right.
Now it's cheap.
Sure.
It's cheap to do to run a swab on a baby's mouth and in the parent's mouth to determine that they are the legal parent. That would save so many different headaches. But I've been told that the reason we don't do that, and this is by the legislature and some of the people that work up there that have tried to fix this problem, is that the funding that comes into the Department of Children's Services and or the child support mandates that that not occur. But they can never tell me the specific, the specific, you know, statute or rule that says that.
You know how many times since I've known you, you've ever told me that they can't tell you the specific.
They can never tell you the specific. They just tell you what our funding is. Our federal funding is linked to that particular aspect, but nobody can ever tell you how or where.
But in Tennessee, when the child is born, if you are not married. Now, if you're married, it changes the whole dynamic.
That's correct. You're presumed to be the father of that child.
And the mother, obviously, of course, as we know. But and you have to go before a judge to be to say, listen, we've had this child together. And I never knew that.
Yes.
I did not.
Yes.
Well, folks, I have learned something here tonight. I did not. Okay, I think I see where a lot of our problems there. You've already answered the question with a lot of the problems that stem from this right now.
That's correct. And if there's not been a father who's been determined by a court of law to be that child's legal father, then they don't necessarily have to make extenuating efforts to try and find that person. Most of the time, if a child comes into foster care and there's not a legal father that's been identified, they will make an attempt to find them, but they're not going to dig up everything between here and Seattle to try and find them.
Sure.
So a lot of times they just go into the foster care system and they do what's, I mean, DCS is short-staffed. They don't have time to sit around and try
that
and find.
That they are. Right. Yeah, they are short-staffed. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first series of breaks. Jackson's going to come in here when he gets a chance, and we're going to take our first series of breaks. And we're going to talk about when we come back, if we can, grandparents and how they're affected by this. You told me of a case. I don't know if you can.
I can talk in generality.
In generality,
yes,
okay, because I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yes, I can.
Michelle Blaylock-Houser has been good enough to be set in here with us for the balance of the hour. We're talking about foster parents and Department of Children's Services. Jax is on the board. My name is Ed Raymer. Back with you right after this. Stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. I want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut mulching, landscaping. Now you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
And we are back. I'm talking to Michelle. We're going to talk about some other things here. We were just talking about during the break. I mean, this poor lady, I don't know. You know, I'm surprised you can find your way home. We've got...
Some days I wonder.
Yeah. Eric, if you'd like, I'll be glad to put a GPS system on your car for this poor soul. I guess she gets lost tonight coming from the fountains to wherever y'all are out there.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've got a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. This is Ed Raymer. Go ahead.
Mr. Raymer, how you doing?
Is this Jeff? Jeff.
How you doing? I just wanted to ask the guest, this case out of Texas, this girl was gone for about a week, and they found her today, found the two.
Right.
Do you deal with a lot of with those cases, stuff like that, in it, or is it more with just putting kids in the foster system? And tell her the Hall of Famer beat regular season Rick, will you? I mean, the fans call him regular season Rick for a reason. Rick Barnes, okay?
That's kind of a touchy subject right now, Jeff.
Last year, you guys beat Duke, and you waved bye-bye to Duke. You waved bye-bye to the fans, and you couldn't even beat Florida Atlantic.
Listen.
So don't give me you've had talent.
No, Jeff. Listen.
They can't do nothing.
This is the first guest ever had that walked in with a pistol in her hand. Please don't.
she's got no bullets in it. She can't find her bullets in her pocket.
Well, it's been a rough weekend. As you may have heard me tell her at the beginning of the broadcast, you know, another minute we'd have probably lost that game. Okay, so.
Well, we made a few turns. We did play defense in the first half, 29 points. So I will say this, the guy number three that scored 40, it reminded me, I only know that this year's ago, Emily, they played in Knoxville. And I know
right.
You remember who Melvin Turpin was, right?
Oh, yes.
They called him Mel for dinner, but he never missed dinner. Mel for dinner, Mel. he scored 42, and they still lost. Okay, so I mean, it's like that. I mean, I don't say he's a great player, but a guy said after the game, a CBS guy said, Tennessee's a one-man team. They're one man. They've got to get some. Yeah, he has to have some help. They're not going anywhere at the tournament.
Well, they did have years ago with the Ernie and Bernie show. You know,
true. They had it true.
They had the duo there. You know.
Yeah. That was back Ray Mears. I agree.
Ray Mears. Yeah, I'll go back to Ray Mears. Sure. Yeah, I remember him kicking the chairs over on the sidelines. Jeff, thank you for calling. We'll let Michelle talk.
Hey, y'all have a great week. See y'all.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, the case in Texas. Didn't the father abduct the child?
No. So I think the one that he's discussing is the one that originated here out of Murfreesboro.
Right.
It actually originated out of California. There was a felony abduction warrant that came out of custodial interference that came out of California. They located the mother and the child here in Murfreesboro. Then once Murfreesboro became involved and Murfreesboro tried to get involved to get this child back to California, the mother once again absconded with the child, and I believe they found her today down in Texas.
Found her in Texas.
Found
That's what I heard.
In Texas, and she was fine. She seemed to be fine, and they took mother into custody, and she's also been charged with some crimes here in Murfreesboro, and then her, I think her husband that lives here in Murfreesboro was also charged.
What was the child doing in Texas?
I don't know why she took to Texas.
Was she with family? Or
she was with her non-custodial mother.
Oh, okay. I had that backwards then. I thought
yes.
automatically. That's the way I thought it was with her. I thought her father had picked her up.
Right. And yes, I do have cases like that. And they are very, very difficult to navigate.
First of all, you're going out of state.
Because you're dealing over state lines. And
right.
there are certain... When you're dealing over state lines, it becomes somewhat difficult because some officers want proof of the order that came from the originating state, and they
right.
want it to be certified.
Does the Mann Act come into play, the kidnapping thing?
Yes, it can. That's
right.
another way.
Another whole...
In fact, I think that's kind of how this one played out, from what I understood, is that
right.
there was a
day.
Felony... custodial interference out of California. They found her here. I guess the detective started working with her here, and then she took off again, and then she ultimately had custodial mm-hmm. interference problems here in Murfreesboro, or aggravated abduction or something along those lines. And then her husband was also charged today as well, from what I understand.
Great.
For facilitating.
Now, okay. Thanks for talking about that. That's I'm just learning all kinds of stuff here tonight. Great day. I need to lead a more exciting life, I guess.
Oh, don't. It's okay not to.
It's all right. I'm knocking on 70, so it's all
oh.
over. No. Thank mm. no, and I mean this. I mean thank the good Lord. No, I can't imagine, you know. It's tough enough with second marriages and all that, and you know, and but most of those, thank goodness, work out fine. I mean,
yes.
and that works out great, you know, and it's good. And everybody, I think you and your former husband, y'all get along great.
We'll get along great.
We're friends on Facebook.
Yes.
All I mean,
yes.
he's a great guy. You
he
know,
he's a great guy.
And I mean, that works out. Sometimes people just don't get along. I mean,
they don't.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I understand. I don't get along with you either. But
that's why I'm here.
But this thing of, and it's become more prevalent. When I was younger, of course, I'm older. You know, I'm so tired of saying that. You know, I'm older than you are. I'm so sick of saying that anymore, but it's a fact. You know, like I said, I'm knocking on 70 now, and I know I look like I'm only 34, but it's bad.
Not
you come
a day
in,
over.
Yeah, and your guess is, do you feel okay?
You feeling all right, Ed?
I think that's what she told me last time she saw me at Kroger. I guess I better go get checked out. But anyway, seriously. Now, I mean, this birth certificate thing and this unwed two parents, not
right.
not married.
Right.
Single. Each single.
Unmarried parents. Mm-hmm.
What, and you said, for example, and I don't know. And again, we folks understand we cannot get specific about this, but if you have that child, and we're going to look at it from the foster parent side here in a minute, okay?
Okay?
So bear with us, folks. There's a lot to cover here, okay? But when that child is born, the mother is pretty well covered.
That's
she
exactly
gave
she's,
birth.
She's
there's
the
no
legal
doubt about
parent.
That.
She's the legal parent because
so
she gave birth.
For all practical, she's pretty well at that point on her own.
That's correct.
If daddy decides to go out here and rip roar with some other old gal, that's it.
That's correct.
But in order to have you, he will have to sign off. And did you say he could be picked up later on for child support? If what case were
all
we
right.
talking about?
So. If a gentleman does not sign the voluntary acknowledgement of paternity and the birth certificate at the time that the child is born, and sometime later, mother decides that she wants to seek child support and she needs financial assistance for this child, or if mother goes out and gets some type of public assistance whatsoever, whether it be food stamps, Families First,
right.
attend care, anything of that nature, then that is a red flag that goes off to the state of Tennessee that says, okay, Joe Q taxpayer is now paying for a child. Where are the parents?
And because so they're drawing, the mother's drawing assistance.
That's correct.
Right.
She's drawing
okay.
assistance from
all
the
right.
state. And so then they will actively seek out who that father is. And the mother can say, I believe it to be this person.
Right.
And then they can send a summons to that person. They can come in and be DNA tested. But
sure.
if you sign that voluntary acknowledgement of paternity, and you found out sometime later that you were not the father, or she told you you weren't the father, and you just disappeared for 3 or 4 years, the state of Tennessee is coming after you, and they can go back to the date of the birth of the child or 5 years, whichever one fits the bill. Not up to 5 years. They can go back 5 years.
And recoup money for what?
How much? For child support. It just depends. It depends on how much you were making and mama was making. Because the child support is calculated on the income shares program. So it's based upon what both parents were making and other children that they have to support.
Okay, so what can a man do to protect himself from this?
Okay, the first thing first is don't ever sign a voluntary acknowledgement of paternity or the birth certificate until you are 100% certain that you are that child's father. The best way to do that is through DNA testing.
Which is much more affordable nowadays.
Oh, it's very affordable.
Okay.
It's very affordable at your last.
I mean, I want to tell you something. I'm glad I brought you. You're telling me things I did not know. And we've worked together. I've worked for you for a long time. I didn't know all this stuff.
I mean, and you're not being disparaging to the mother. You just want to be sure that you've covered your bases and it becomes business. When you enter into a relationship like that, it is business. And so you've got to treat it like business. Take care of your business. Go get your DNA test. And if you're the father, then you can go back and sign the voluntary acknowledgement of paternity or the birth certificate. Or you can go and file your petition to establish paternity.
Sure.
I had a case not that long ago, and now we're having to deal with the nightmare of it, but we advise that young man on that very thing. Go back and assert your rights to establish your paternity.
Yes, ma'am.
He did not do that. Mother, some years later, finds out that he's seeking it, and she absconded with the child to another state. We have now spent a better part of a month trying to get that child to come back.
And not to mention the dollars that go into that.
Oh.
Because you have to be paid. If you hire a guy like me, I've got to get paid. Now we're talking about we may be going out of state.
You got to get a lawyer down there to do it.
A case which I can do because it ensued here in Tennessee. I can follow him anywhere in the United States. It costs money.
Right, it costs money.
And
do the right thing first, and you won't have to spend the hard money on the backside.
Folks, will you please listen to this lady? Will you please listen to her? Please. It could save you so much. You talk about, a marriage, and we've all talked about this. A marriage, and you don't mean to be cold about it or callous, but a marriage is a business.
It is a business.
And I'm proud to say my wife and I have been doing business for 43 years. Well, we were doing a little business before then, but
let's not talk about that.
She cries every time she thinks about it. But no, seriously. I mean, but it is. I mean, you have income taxes to file. You have a home to pay for. You have cars that you've purchased. You have all these
money to manage. I mean, you have health care issues.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
hopefully you've got a little
stuff.
Money to manage. And hopefully at the end of the road, you'll have a little money to hopefully retire on or whatever.
Right.
And, you must look at it that way.
And it would be so much easier if the state of Tennessee would spend some of those dollars out there to require parents who are not married.
Right.
To have that DNA testing at the time of the birth before that father signs on that voluntary acknowledgement of paternity. It would make it so much easier, and we wouldn't have nearly the troubles that we do. Because trying to undo that, if you have signed that voluntary acknowledgement of paternity and the birth certificate, and they try to come after you on child support, it can be hard to get that DNA test at that point in time because, let's face it, Joe Q taxpayer, Uncle Sam, just wants his money. And then after a period of time goes by, you can't go back and rescind it. Even if you find out that you're not dad, some 10 years down the road, you're stuck.
Right. You're stuck.
You're stuck.
Right.
If you would just have had taken that DNA test at the time of birth, that little $60 test would have saved you.
It would save you so much headache and heart and your parents,
of dollars.
Your family, and everyone else involved in
that's
this.
That's right.
Including the child.
Yes, the child.
And through all this, we've not talked about the child. We're talking about us adults.
Which is what we in Tennessee are supposed to be looking out for, is the best interest of the child.
Yeah, we're supposed to know better.
Yeah, we're supposed to look out for the best interest of the child, and that's not happening.
Now, thank you. You're not charging me for this hour, are you?
No.
Folks, you're getting some valuable information here. I'm telling you. Okay, let's look at it from the foster parents, from the other end of the scope. What rights the foster parents have, okay? You've got a father that wants... I had a man told me once, and he said, the hardest thing in the world is to take a child away from its mother, not necessarily the father, okay? Where do the foster parents stand? Should they enter into this knowing that at some point this may end? Is that...
Oh, absolutely.
Unfortunately, whether it be when a child gets grown and wishes to move out on their own or whatever, or mommy and daddy decide one of them is going to make a go of it. What do you think?
So once the child enters into the dependency and neglect realm and they are put into foster care,
right,
the Department of Children's Services is required to make reasonable efforts to reunite that child with the parents.
Okay.
So they're going to provide resources to the parents in order to be able to make that happen, such as helping them find jobs, helping them, you know, get established. If they decide that they want to get into some type of treatment program, they can help them with some of that type
sure.
of issue. Money management, house care and housekeeping type of services. They can bring those services in to try and teach those parents on how to be better parents. Sometimes you get parents that do pull it out and they do a great job of it. Other times, and I would say probably most times than not, you don't. And a lot of times it's because substances are involved. We have a lot of people that are in, a lot of children that are in the foster care system because of substance abuse by those parents. Now, let me say this. Typically, by the Department of Children's Services own guidelines, if a parent wishes their child to go with a relative, that relative has to be given priority. However,
over the foster parents.
Over the
right.
child. And
right.
they have, DCS has exclusive ability to place a child. So even if they have their own guidelines, if the Department of Children's Services has their guidelines that says that you should place with a relative, and they don't necessarily think that that relative is, quote, a good placement for any reason in the whole wide world, then they can take those children and put them in foster care. I recently had a case like this, and I even called and talked to my client and said, hey, look, you know, this is kind of something I'm thinking about doing and pursuing. Okay, if I talk in generalities. So basically, the Department of Children's Services took these children and said that they couldn't separate the children. The children came from different families.
Okay.
So they were step siblings, not together.
Got it. Okay.
Right. They weren't all part of one family system.
Right.
And so the department said, well, we can't separate those children. So we have to keep them all three together.
Right.
Well, because of some of the things that had happened, some of the family members were willing to take in their two natural grandchildren, but they were not willing to take in the other child because of some very extenuating circumstances within that family.
Sure.
Okay. And the department says, no, we are not going to separate them. We are not going to separate them. And so ultimately those children went into foster care, even though you had two grandparents who were perfectly willing to take on the two children, but not the third.
Right.
And then what could have happened is that the grandparents were fine to have the children continue to visit. They just weren't in a position to be able to take on all three children.
Sure.
And so the Department of Children's Services ultimately spent the money to put all three of these babies into foster care when it wasn't necessary. It was never necessary.
Right.
You had perfectly capable grandparents that were willing to do it.
Is there a limit on number of children foster parents can have under their care?
They're supposed to be.
What's that number? Do you know?
Well, I will tell you this. In that particular case, what was very disturbing to me was that they had taken these children, and because we want to keep them together, put them in a foster care situation to where the foster mother already had three other kids that were in the system.
Lord.
And then she had three kids of
I
her
gotcha.
Own. So she had three kids that were her natural children. She had three kids from another foster situation, and then she took in these three kids.
Nine. Had a total of nine. And it was just her.
It was just her. she had gone through a divorce in this process. And
wow. Okay.
But yeah, instead of saving the money and sending those two youngest kids to the family, which could have taken care of the two youngest kids and made sure that the kids continued to see each other, they just weren't going to be able to live together, they chose to keep the kids together and put them in foster care with people they didn't even know.
Let me ask you, at what point does the child have a say-so? Will that vary with the child? Of course, I can understand if you have a child that has special needs and all that.
Right.
But at 14, 17, 10, what does the child say? No, I want to stay here. I don't want to go live with granddaddy and grandmommy because they may know something about that, you know.
Well,
extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
You okay?
Anytime that a dependency and neglect is taken out, the children are given what they call a guardian ad litem. That is an attorney that is to represent their best interests.
Okay.
If at any time that guardian ad litem, through their own investigation, believes that the children's best interests and what the child is wanting are divergent, then it's incumbent upon that guardian ad litem to come to the court and say an attorney ad litem needs to be appointed for the children. So the attorney ad litem would argue for what the child wanted, while the guardian ad litem is going to argue for the best interests of the child.
Yeah, you. How many Tylenol do you take a day?
Not enough. There's some days not enough.
Yeah, I mean, bless your heart. And you're not. And let me say this: I'm talking about like you're the only one here. Remember, there's other attorneys that are going through this too.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Sure, you know, yeah.
We don't have enough of them.
Juvenile court is pretty. Anytime I was ever there serving a paper for you, it was always packed pretty good.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not take Department of Children's Services cases very much anymore.
Really?
It has become a problem that has become so extensive that we as lawyers have become so frustrated with the system ourselves, and we don't see anything is changing. So what's the point? I literally would have times to where I just couldn't sleep at night because I was worried about somebody else's kids.
And is it because of lack of funding? Is that what we're talking about?
The biggest part of it is because of lack of funding.
Okay.
And now, not to bring, I don't want to get political about this.
I understand.
But we also have to understand that with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, we have a whole lot more children that are entering into that system every single day.
Right.
And so that is stretching even further the very limited resources that are out there for these children. The Department of Children's Services is highly underfunded. The people that are there do not receive enough money. There's not very many people that want to sign up for the job because it is not a fun job.
It's a very thankless job.
It's a very thankless job. Right. And then the foster care families, they have their own advocates within the Department of Children's Services that are supposed to be advocating for them. There's not enough of them either.
Right.
So what you're finding is that you have a foster care system that is very, very stretched because foster families, foster people who are in it because they truly love children and want to see things flourish,
sure,
are not being supported by the department because of the lack of resources. And then in addition to that, if they were to complain too much about their lack of
money,
support,
right.
Okay. Not money, just lack of support from the department, or they complain about the process that, or the placement where the children have been placed or anything like that. The Department of Children's Services has exclusive right to place children. I want everybody to hear that from me. The Department of Children's Services has the exclusive right to where they place children. A judge of competent jurisdiction cannot. There is no check or balance to that system. A judge of competent jurisdiction cannot overturn the Department of Children's Services when they place a child.
I did not know that. I figured the judge had final say-so, period.
No. The department has no check or balance, and that's something else that has got to change at our legislative level.
Oh, man.
Every agency in the state of Tennessee should have a check or a balance to this system, and that is not happening. When it comes to placement, they have exclusive ability to place. And so, and again, they often say it goes back to our funding. our federal grants, our federal funding requires it.
Well, what I hear from the state is there's a surplus. They've got all kinds of money laying around.
Well, they're too interested in spending that on the Titans than they are the children of this state. Ed, I mean, that's the bottom line.
They said there'll be more money, $2.1 billion for this stadium. Mm-hmm. And half a billion's already been allocated, I believe. And this is me talking now, not Michelle, not anyone else. There's going to be more than that before it's all over.
Oh, sure it is.
You know.
And, I mean, the way that things skyrocket and there's things in there that you can't possibly contemplate
for a
happening.
Year, 2 years down the road, you don't know what's going to happen. The economy, economic conditions, all that. Yeah.
But meanwhile, people are still having babies and they're going into the system and the department is too understaffed. And oftentimes the department is the tail that's wagging the dog.
Right.
And we're shocked by that.
You know, this one lady, I think maybe I mentioned when we first went on the air, I'd served her five times on one case. Well, unfortunately, you get to know these people.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And she'd say, look, anytime you got something for me, just give me a call. And she worked, I told you the other day on the phone, she worked like 1 in the afternoon till 9 at night or something like that. It was very convenient. I didn't have to go down during the rush hour and all that.
Right.
And she made it as convenient for me as she could, you know. And that the reason for that was, I guess, so she could get in touch with her people and the cases she was assigned, because a lot of those people are not home at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not a regular 8 to 5 job. And I got to know her, and we never had a problem. And on that third or fourth one, I told you, I said, you know, I've served you about 3 or 4 times on this one case. And she said, and I hate to tell you, you're probably going to be serving me again. I said, okay.
That's because those cases drag on for years.
I know. And the attorney was ready to, the attorney I was representing was ready to, you know, hey man, I think we got it this time. Ed, I think this will be, you know, and they're not bothering me. I'm being paid to be there. But I mean, even I can, when you look at it and say, you know, even though when you're making money, you say, look, there's something wrong here.
Well, and then especially when you get a case where you've got a caseworker that's dealing with children, that knows these children, that knows the situation.
Right.
And then that caseworker leaves, or they promote that caseworker, and then another one comes in.
Right, here we go.
And then the same thing with lawyers. I mean, the Department of Children's Services is greatly needing lawyers to work with them as well. And so there's a shortage of lawyers in general. I know people don't believe that, but there is. Right now, and then when you have it going into the department, it makes it even worse. On this particular case, I think I'm now on my third caseworker and third lawyer, and it's like you're starting all over again when somebody new comes back
right.
on board.
Right. Okay. Well, here's what happened, and here's how we have to.
We have to go right back through it all again.
Yeah, we're going to get Jackson here with our last series of ads. And Michelle Hauser has been good enough to come in here and stay for the balance of the hour. Michelle, I am so glad you did this. I can't believe the things I learned. I mean, you're a pretty good gal.
Well, I appreciate that. Contrary to what some people think. There's
and
some
if
people
I get,
that don't think me think so much.
Well, there's some people that didn't like me and you at all.
Not at all.
And, you know. Not at all. You know?
Not at all. Yeah. No. There's some people there that probably have called me worse things.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll tell you what, you know, and I still do a amount of PI work here and there, and up all night, up all day, all that good stuff. And I went through one of the drive-thrus to get a, just tonight I got a glass of water, courtesy of McDonald's across the street. They're not at, I'll give them a plug. They're not a sponsor of ours. And I went through. I think it was that drive. I'm not sure which one. And the little girl said, "You know, here's your iced tea, Mr. Raymer." Oh well, thank you. You know, because social media and all that.
Right.
You don't know who knows you or who doesn't. You know. And she said, "Have a good show." I said, "Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it." She said, "Yeah, try not to make anybody mad."
Yeah, if that were my goal every day, I probably wouldn't go to work.
We're not going to succeed.
I'm going to make somebody mad. That's just all there is to it.
So, try
whether
not
you want to or not,
mad.
Whether you want to or not, sometimes you just make people mad.
And you know, but what we're saying here, even for the foster parents, there's going to be some dips and skips here for them.
I'm telling
but
you,
I think a lot of them know that by now.
I don't know. I don't think so, Ed.
You don't?
I don't think they understand just how difficult this system is until they actually get in it and they
the
realize.
The system itself.
Yes.
Their purpose is pure. Maybe,
right.
Maybe, most of them may be, we want to help these children. Fine.
Right.
Okay? But the system is...
Well, like, for instance, Ed, let's just say that you're a foster parent. And let's say that you have to run and do an errand. Maybe you've got car trouble and you've got to run and do an errand and you want to leave the children with somebody.
Sure.
You can't just leave those children with anybody while you run your errand. It can't be your mother or grandmother or anybody like that.
Right, yeah.
It has got to be somebody who has been vetted by the Department of Children's Services to be you can leave your children with.
I had no idea. So you're not going to run them out and just leave them with mother for an hour.
You're not going to do that.
Right.
Well, you're not supposed to be.
No, but I understand.
But I don't know that they even know that that's happening.
Oh, I imagine they do. Michelle Hauser's here with us. Jackson's on the board. I'm Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. We'll be back for our last 12 or 15 minutes right after this. Stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. Want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low-maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut, mulching, landscaping. Now, you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hauser. Okay. And we're talking about foster parents and Department of Children's Services. And Michelle, anything else that I've left out that you would like to highlight? I mean, because I don't know this, and that's the reason we have guests up here to tell us. Anything,
sure. One of the things that I think is difficult for me, and I see why a lot of foster parents are leaving the situation in droves, not just because of the lack of support, but also because they don't have a sounding board. And let me give you a for instance. Again, I've gone back and looked through some of my files, and there was a situation one time where I represented this couple. They had had these babies since the time that they were born. Just about. They were very little. I think one was only maybe 6 months of age. The other one was just born. They had these babies for 22 months, something along those lines. It's almost 2 years.
Right.
They were on the track to adopt these children because it didn't look like mom and dad were going to pull things out. And then the grandparents out of nowhere come out of the state of some other state.
Right.
And decide that they want the children, even though they had never laid eyes on these children. And the Department of Children's Services because the foster parents started getting worried that they weren't going to be represented in court. They didn't feel like anybody was listening to them. Mm-hmm. They went out and hired a lawyer, and the Department of Children's Services pulled those children because they went and hired their own lawyer to represent their interests.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And if any time a foster parent is going to try and fight the department and itself, they have the right, again, to exclusive possession of those children and exclusive placement.
So these children went with their grandparents then?
Yes, because they decided to challenge the Department of Children's Services, who, by the way, with their own rules, said that they had to file a termination of parental rights and adoption after 18 months. The department had not done that.
Man. Okay.
And so they want to know why foster parents are leaving in droves. Treat your foster people better.
Sure.
The people that are truly in there that truly care. And those kids may go back to their parents. That's not what you should be in it for, necessarily.
Sure, sure. If the parents have worked it out, then good for them.
Bully for them.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, you have a lot of folks out there that have gotten into the system. And I hear this all the time. Well, they're in it for the money. Well, if you're a foster parent that's in this for the money,
God help you. Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm telling you, they do not give you that much money for these children.
It's not worth it.
There's no way you can raise a child on the amount of money that they give you, especially a child that has special needs.
I've got, let's say, for example, a 4 or 5 year old child. Mm-hmm. I've been out here on a bender, you know, for years. I'm supposedly the father.
Mm-hmm.
Foster parents, can I get possession? Can I get custody? I said possession. I shouldn't use that word, custody. Can I get custody of that child?
If, as the legal father, you mean?
Sure.
Yes. If you are able to straighten your road out and you are able to jump through the Department of Children's Services hoops that they want you to do, taking drug and alcohol assessments, going and getting the treatment that you just keeping a job, having
drug
a safe
testing.
House, drug testing, having a safe house for those children, then yes, you can get your children back.
Don't you need a steady job?
Yes.
Provide gainful employment.
You have to have gainful employment because they eat. I mean, those
That's
little things
exactly
eat.
Exactly right. Oh, yeah. You got
and they cost a whole lot of money.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm still paying for mine, and they're 27 and 26.
Now, come on. Take that look off your face. It's not that bad.
It is that bad. It is that bad.
To leave on a lighter note, you know, I was standing, as you know, this lady and I, we've had a few meetings at Kroger over in the produce.
Oh, yes, we have.
Or preferably over in the ice cream section.
Yes.
But... You know, and it was in there one night with this other lady, and she was checking out ahead of me. And we got to talking about, and of course, our daughter had just moved out. And now I ribbed the kids about this, okay? But it's somewhat true. We keep a supply of things in my bathroom, which is in the back. It's by the utility room, which is the way we built the house we intended to.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, alcohol, toothpaste, toothbrushes, dental floss, deodorant, toilet paper, paper towel, washing detergent for your clothes. We got to noticing some of our goods were missing.
You had a thief.
Well, it was just me and the wife in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, honey, it seems like we're buying an awful lot of toilet paper lately. So, you know, I'm in the line with this lady.
Somebody's got a real problem.
It wasn't. This time, believe it or not, it wasn't me. And and this lady, I'm talking to her. She's a fine lady. And she's checking out. And I said, we got talking about kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's great conversation, wonderful person, and her and her husband had two or three children at home, and I said, do you have stuff missing around here? She said, oh, honey, let me tell you. I said, we're missing some clothes detergent, like Tide and stuff. Said, oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I said, I said, and what about toilet paper? She said, oh, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like you got to frisk your children when they leave the house. Yeah. Hey, come over here. Yeah, spread them. Come over here. Let me check you out. See what you got on you.
We were laughing about it. And I said, you know, I don't know. I said, I don't know if this life's cracked up. She said, oh, honey, we had these kids. I guess we got to take care of them.
Yep, that's exactly right. And you think they're going to get less expensive. They don't.
No. Oh, no. I see parents. I get a kick out of them. And, of course, when you're younger, you're starting out. You know, we've all been down the same road. You don't have a lot of money and all the money in the world. And, you know, I can remember growing up, and I tell this story quite frequently. My grandparents, mom and dad needed a new refrigerator, you know. My grandparent, no, why don't you just go buy you a new refrigerator? Back then, refrigerator was anywhere from $300 to $500.
Sure.
Okay. And this, I'm talking about 70s, early 80s. Well, mom and dad didn't have in the 70s when we were growing up, early 70s especially. I was just a kid. I knew they didn't have $300 or $400 just laying around. And just, hey, Sue, go, you know, tell mom, pick up a new refrigerator on the way home.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't work that way.
It was a major purchase.
I know. And
major.
We have never, we've tried, the wife and I have never tried to always try and never forget that. You know, and these young people are fighting these battles, and it's tough.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, Ed, how much, let me ask you this.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
How much do you think it costs to have a child in daycare for 1 week?
It was, I'm wanting to say, is it $210? It's not $265.
No, dude.
And can I get
it's
a
like
eight,
$900. It's like $800-$900 a week.
Wait a minute, a week?
A week for these for people to take their babies and put them in daycare.
Wait a minute, wait, a week or a month?
A week.
Oh, Michelle, it's not that much.
It is.
Jackson's
See?
Shaking
Jackson
his head.
Even shaking
Jackson's
it.
Shaking
no,
his head.
It
yeah.
is.
Really?
It's ridiculous. Now, I have my own theory about that, but let's not go into that on this show. On why I think that is. But you think about children today that are trying to make a living. I mean, like Jackson here.
I know.
Mean,
yeah,
trying
and
to
I've
make
tried
that,
to never
to make
forget
that. Work,
that.
Try to make that work.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost impossible.
Well, you just, well, one parent just will stay home.
Yeah,
I mean, you've got to do it.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's it.
And which parent is it typically going to stay at home?
Mom.
Uh-huh.
It's yeah.
all
yeah.
their purpose.
Well, you know, and I've said this many times, and I've probably told you, we had a routine in our house when the kids were growing up. My wife worked, she worked, for all practical purposes, 8-to-5 job. She's an accountant, Ingram Book. Fine job, and she was there nearly 35 years. Good company. But when she came home, and then, of course, I built houses and gambled.
You've done a little bit of everything.
Do what?
You've done a little bit of everything.
I've done, me and my brothers have done a little bit of everything,
yeah.
you know.
Some
you
things
know,
we don't want to know.
Yeah. Gambled a little, all that. But,
yeah.
No, I never gambled. No, I didn't, you know, Raymer gambles, Raymer loses. But, you know, but she came home, and then whoever gets, our deal, who fixes supper at your house? Generally, whoever gets home first starts it. We don't know who's going to end it. But then she'd sit down with the kids and do homework, and I'd finish supper, you know.
Right.
And that was our routine for a number of years. And I didn't begrudge it. The wife didn't begrudge it. But that's what it is, folks. And you can't, you know, I've said this many times. I see these young couples getting married, and he wants everything dad's got right now. And she wants everything mom's got right now. You know, the nice dining room suit, the big screen TV, all that. Failing to realize that mom and dad have worked 30 or 40 years to get all this stuff.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of them now is they can't even afford those things.
I know.
Even if they wanted to.
But kids, be patient, because I walked out one day and told my son all the tools I've been buying for 30 to 40 years, my hands were just about shot. And you can tell I've got scars all up and down my arms. Worked on houses, built rebuilt engines, cars. I said, you sell those tools? He said, yeah. I said, they're yours. Good luck.
Yeah.
You
Go
got
with God.
It. Yeah, play us out, Jackson. Michelle Hauser has been good enough to be here. Man, I have learned a lot. I hope you have, okay? And I'll tell you what. Thank you, Michelle.
You're
so much. We appreciate
it. As always, love being here.
Thank you very much. And Jackson, thank you. I'll tell you what, till next Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.